Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to see our visitors here today. We appreciate it very, very much. You're very welcome, and I hope that the worship will be beneficial to you. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's one in the chair in front of you. I'm going to be speaking out of James 1, 2 through 8. You know, I think I'm speaking to an audience of people that I can truthfully say, you've probably had some trials and problems in your life. Not many, maybe, but a few trials and problems in your life. And how do we handle them? How do we handle them? Maybe you've seen the bumper sticker. You know, if you life hands you a lemon, make a lemonade. That's, you know, it's cute. It's nice. But you know something that's biblical? That's true. It all depends on what you do with that lemon. Now, I like lemon and water. You know, I get that when I go to a restaurant. I'm diabetic, so I can't get pop and all that kind of good stuff. So I usually get water with just a lemon piece in it. And it flavors it up nicely. Get awfully tired of drinking just water. Whew, awfully tired of that. Throughout the Bible, though, there are people who have turned defeat into victory. Our society today, we so much live in a victim society. We're all victims. But folks, I want to tell you, we don't have to be victims. We can be victors. We can be victorious over the problems of our life. And that's part of what James is telling us when we read this part of James. You don't have to be a victim. You can be a victor. It all depends on how you're dealing with it. Because we have problems from the outside. I mean, I'm a human being. Therefore, I'm going to get sick. I'm going to get diseases. I'm going to have death in my family. I'm going to have those kind of problems that just happen because I'm a human. And then there's problems because you're a Christian. There's pressures on you. There's temptations. Because believe me, Satan is very alive and well in the world today. And he wants your soul. He wants your soul. The key to overcoming, taking trials and making them triumphs, of being the person God wants you to be, is four words. Four simple words. If you go out of here today, I want you to listen and remember these four, because I'm going to ask you. There's going to be a test afterwards. Okay? There's the word count. There's the word know. There's the word let. And then there's the word ask. That's all you need to know. That's the whole lesson. That's everything that Clark just read for us. He says, if you've got problems, you notice verse 2, if you're looking at your Bible. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall in to trials, various trials. Not if. God wants us to know it's going to happen, folks. There are going to be problems in your life. Jesus tells us the same thing in John the 16th chapter in verse 33, and Paul does in Acts the 14th chapter in verse 22. And these trials are various. Some of them just because we're human, like I said earlier. Sickness, accidents, disappointments, death, discouragements. Folks don't treat you right. Folks say things again. That's everybody in the world has those problems. Just because we're humans. And other trials has come because we're Christians. And the world wants us to break down and to go and live the way they live. Satan, folks, fights with us. We're in a war, whether we believe it or not. And you know, there's a big discussion going on in our political realm today, whether we're in a war against terrorists or not. I don't care whether we think we are. They think we are. They think we are. And it doesn't matter whether we think we're in a war against Satan or not. He does. He does. And he is definitely at war with you. So what should be our response? How should we react when these things happen to us? James says, count it all joy. And you say, what? When I have discouragements and frustrations and trials and problems, I ought to count it all joy? Well, the apostles did in Acts the 5th chapter in verse number 41. They went home rejoicing that they were able to suffer with Christ. Paul said the same thing in Galatians, the 5th chapter in verse number 3. He said, we count it for all glory to God. So the first step to turning trials to triumph is our attitude toward them. Immediately, when we have a problem, we need to thank God and adopt a joyful attitude toward it. Friday, went down to the VA. Been going there for weeks, working on my teeth. They had a root canal, ground it off, had it all prepared to put a crown on it. Had the crown laying there on the table. But about 3 or 4 days before that, I had bit down on something and broke a piece of it off. And the dentist said, ooh, that's not good. Now that's the last thing in the world you want to hear a dentist say to you. Is look in your mouth and go, ooh, that's not good. So he said, well, let me try this. And he put one type of filling in there. And if you know me, I hate dentists. Just talking about it, the skin's hair standing up on my arms. He put one type of filling in there, and he said, I don't think that's going to hold. And he got his drill out and drilled that one back out. And then he put another kind in there, and he said, I know that one's not going to hold. And he ground that one back out. And he stepped back, and he looked at me, and he said, Mr. Treadway, you don't want dentists going, to you. He said, I'm going to have to pull that tooth. He said, all the pain you've been through and all the work we've done, I can't save it. So I got a hole in my jaw right now. And that is a huge discouragement to me after going through all that. So how do I handle that? Oh, poor me. Oh. Sandy will tell me. I did a little bit of that. I am human. When you get a chance to get a little bit of sympathy, you take it and play on it as much as you can to get as much sympathy as you can out of it. But it doesn't hurt anymore. It's over with. It's not going to hurt anymore. From now on, it's gone. It's in the trash. When we have a problem, when we have a difficulty, what's to be our response? Count it all joy. What attitude do you have? Count it all joy. Now, how in the world do you do that? I thought to myself, this is the perfect lesson for me this week. I needed this one. This one I studied for me. You're getting the benefit from it, but I studied this one for me. How am I going to count this all joy. Well, what was the second word? Count? No. Look what it says when we get to verse 3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Knowing that. If I have the right knowledge concerning the value of the trial that I'm going through, it makes it possible to have a joyful attitude. I can remember many years ago, going out for football. And the coach said, we're going to have two-a-days. And I said, what? Two-a-days. You're going to come in the morning, you're going to work out, then you're going to get something to eat, then you're going to come back in the afternoon, you're going to work out again. Now, I was an immature child at the time. And I thought, no sense in that. That's crazy. But we got out there, and they had the hose hooked up so you could run over there and grab you a drink and throw water on your head and all this to cool, because it was about like this is now, 85, 95 degrees, somewhere in there. And the sweat was just pouring off of us. And the work was hard. But the coach gathered us together before every time, and he said, boys, I want you to know one thing. If you make it through these two-a-days, fourth quarter is going to be a snap. You're going to have the endurance that you need to get through the game. And he showed us some films of a bunch of guys standing there with their hands on their legs going, they were exhausted. He said, they didn't work hard enough in 2 days. Then he'd smile real big. He said, but you're going to. You're going to. There won't be any of you sucking air on the fourth quarter, not on my team. You're going to be in shape. So let's start running. And I was a pretty good sized boy. I mean, I'm an lineman. I'm a center. And all these halfbacks and defensive backs took off running, just chugging away, you know. I'm huffing and puffing before I got down to the end of the field, let alone turn around and come back. And he's down there at the end yelling, again! And we had to turn around, run back up the length of the field, back down again. I had to keep telling myself, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. That's what it takes to make the team. That's what it takes to win the game. Because you see, I had to know that endurance only comes when you go through the trial. It doesn't happen any other way. The trial is what produces the endurance. Now, wouldn't it be great if you could walk in a gym, walk over there, grab those weights, go, set it down, walk out, and you're in shape? Wouldn't it be sweet? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could sit down and just order anything you wanted and not have to worry about the calories and the carbs and the and you could just once a week you could one meal. You could count the carbs and count the calories. Maybe count the fats. Just 1 week. Once a week. It doesn't work that way, does it? Not if you're diabetic, Steve, does it? Now we gotta count carbs every meal. That's why I got this little pump on my waist to pump insulin into me every time I eat. But I'm still alive. I'm still alive. Trials produce faith. Peter says in 1 Peter, the first chapter, in verse number 7, it's just like gold. Your faith is just like gold. You ever seen a gold rock that comes out of the hillside? It's got all the other kinds of stuff all mixed in with it, and they throw it in the pot, and they heat it up, and then they drag the slag off the top of it. When that heat melts it down, and then they heat it up more, and they drag a little bit more off the top, and they heat it up more, until it becomes gold that you can use. Your faith's just like that. We not only have to have the right attitude, we have to know why we have that attitude. That's not being crazy. When he says, count it all joy, I'm getting a chance to strengthen my faith. I'm getting the opportunity to become stronger. And when you have that kind of understanding, you can have joy in your trials. Look in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Paul writing to this church that just had tremendous problems. 2 Corinthians 4. And verse 15. He says, for all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction. Did you hear that? Compared with what we get, the light affliction that we have, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal way to glory. Trials? Oh, poor me. I'm so overburdened. The way to glory. They become nothing. When you see what you get for it. Trials, going back to James, tells us that we need to know that the testing of our faith produces patience, the New King James says. New American Standard says endurance. Much better translation in that spot. Endurance. Ralph Price just ran a half marathon here this spring. I guarantee you that wasn't the first time he put on his running shoes. He'd have never made it. He'd have never made it. And every mile that he ran, he had to tell himself, because I've talked with him about it, you know, I'm getting stronger, I'm going to live longer, I'm going to be in better health, I'll be around for my grandkids. Because all his family's like me, they have diabetes. He didn't want to have that. He wanted to be healthy. And he could tell himself every mile he ran, every morning when he got up, strapped those shoes on and went out and ran. It's worth it. I'm getting something for this. And he has. He's now up to where he's running a half marathon. And he'll run a marathon sooner or later. But just the thought of running, when's the last time you ran 13 miles? Never happened in my life. No, it won't. We need to know faith produces endurance. Faith produces maturity, really. Because when we think about that word patience as it is in the New King James, that the word in the original is hupomenon, and it means bear under. Okay? In other words, it's the ability to bear up under the problem, to have the endurance to stand, to have the endurance to do the steadfastness, the consistency, in despite of the difficulty. And that's the only way you can count it all joy, is if you understand that's what happens. And then look in verse 4. Once you understand, I need to count it joy, that's the attitude I need to have. The reason is because I'm gaining endurance. Then verse 4 had to get in there. And that little word, let. He says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Patience is one thing. And you know, the only way to get patience, and that's to be tried. And we love to have our trials over with. You know, we like our television shows where they present a problem, solve the problem, and it's over with in one sequence. Half an hour, 45 minutes, whatever the program is. And we like it over like that right now. Some problems don't go away. Some problems you have to learn to live with. Some problems you have to learn to accept. You have to bear up under them. You have to have endurance. That's what it's talking about, being complete. Courageous perseverance is the way one commentator described it. I like that. Courageous perseverance. I'm not going to let this thing defeat me. I'm just not. It's continuing on even when it's rough. Continuing on despite the circumstance. Continuing on even when I could sit down and say, oh, look at poor me. It's not poor me. I'm going to beat this thing. Some of these young men and women coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan with arms and legs missing are going to sit down and say, poor me, and they'll be poor me the rest of their life. And some of them are going to go on and win Olympics, and they're going to win jobs, and they're going to do the things they need to do. My dad had polio as a child. His one leg and one arm were both smaller than the other one. He worked in a steel mill on an overhead crane, where he had to climb a ladder. They told him he couldn't do it when he applied for the job. He said, you watch me. And they said, no, we can't have some cripple doing that. If you want to get my dad's temper up, call him a cripple. I mean, he said, I grew about 2 inches standing there talking to him. I said, watch. And he went right up the ladder and operated the crane. When he retired from the steel mill, he became commissioner of the American Softball Association for the state of Ohio. He was the oldest umpire in the state. He'd get out there and limp around and chase those 18, 19-year-old boys from first base over to third base and get there after them, but he was there to see the play. He didn't quit. He wouldn't quit. He knew what hoopomenon meant. Because I've seen him many a night, sitting there watching television, rubbing his knee and his leg, where it hurt bad. But he'd get up the next morning and go to work. I don't know of him ever taking a day off because of his polio. Never. He bore up under it. Patience, endurance. Because when patience has its course, it produces maturity. And that's what the whole chapter is all about, or the whole book is all about, if you'll remember. The marks of maturity. It's a little child that says, oh, I can't. It's an adult that says, I will. I will overcome. And patience produces maturity. You ever heard of resistance training? When I found out I had congestive heart failure on top of all the other junk that I have, they put me in a training program where they gave me rubber bands and I'm supposed to stretch them out and do all kinds of step on them and raise them up and do all kinds of resistance training. And I got to where I could do pretty well with the yellow one. Then the trainer said, "You're doing well. Here, try the green one." It didn't go so far. The yellow one, I could take it in one hand and raise it right over my head after a month or so. And I got a hold of that green one and I went. Pretty soon I was raising it up over my head. The trouble is they always had another one. The resistance kept getting harder and harder. But I kept getting stronger and stronger. And I now can do what I do because of resistance training. That's what trials are. But how do we look at them? It's not fair. No, it's not. It's not fair. Nobody said it was going to be fair. If you're still looking for fairness, you're in the wrong world. It's just not out there. Never going to be. But James says when life's not fair, you need to count that as a joy because it's going to strengthen you. When you let that endurance go that far. Now, is patience an easy thing to get, endurance an easy thing to get? No. No, no, no. But God doesn't leave us out there with just our strength. Look at what it says when we get down to verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's the fourth word, if you remember. Count, know, let, ask. Ask a God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Folks, it takes wisdom to let patience have its way. It just does. Wisdom, by the way, there's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is the accumulation of facts. Wisdom is knowing how to effectively use those facts. So you can go out of here with the knowledge of count, know, let, ask, and it's not going to do you a whole lot of good. Count, know, let, and ask. That sounds good. Easy to remember. But you know something? If you're not counting on God, you're not knowing that He's done it that way, if you don't ask Him, you're not going to accomplish. You're not going to succeed. If we lack wisdom, if we don't know how to do this, ask God. He's given us the knowledge already. Count, know, let, and ask. That's the knowledge. That's the facts. Now, how do we have the wisdom to do it? Well, the first thing we need to understand is He's not going to reproach us for asking. He's not going to say, "What are you asking me for? You ought to know how to do that." That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. We have a God that's different than that. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask a God who gives to all liberally. You know what that really says in the original? It says, If you lack wisdom, ask of the giving God. That's a characteristic of God's. He's a giving God. He's not just a judgmental God. He's a giving God. He gave us His Son. He gives us His love. He gives us His strength. He gives us what we need to be able to endure. I'm not going to take the time because this lesson's getting a little bit long, but 1 Kings 3, 7 through 12, we see the story of Solomon as he asked for wisdom and the great joy that gives God. You need to go back and read that. The wisdom to properly use trials and to turn these trials into triumph comes by prayer. Asking God. Properly asking God. He says we need to ask in faith. I need to ask knowing God's going to do it because He's a giving God. Knowing that God's not going to chastise me and think little of me. Knowing God's not going to say, haven't I told Him about that a dozen other times? God's not going to do that. Proper prayer is based on faith. Without doubt. Without doubt. James says, somebody that doubts is like the wave of the sea. It comes into the shore and goes right back out. Comes in and goes right back out. That's not what we need to be. We need to come to God and we need to stay there. We need to be somebody who's no doubt. Because listen to what he says to the person who's with doubting. Says, let not that man, verse 7, suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Oh, I think he will, but I'm not sure he will. I hope he will, but I doubt he will. That's a double-minded man. That's somebody that thinks two ways. We need to set our feet on the ground and say, look, here's the way it is and here's what's going to happen. I'm going to depend on God. Satan, you can throw at me what you need to because I'm going to be here. I'm standing on God. And I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to be a double-minded man. I'm not going to be somebody who just is like a wave. I'm going to be the person God wants me to be. So that's the key to turning trials into triumph. Having the knowledge and the perspective that adversity can accomplish good. Letting that patient endurance produce the strength that we need. And all the while using God's wisdom on how to handle it. When that's done, even trials can be a source of joy. Even trials. I guess I can summarize this by saying what we need to do is learn how to make lemonade. Learn how to make lemonade out of the lemons that life gives us. You look at yourself and you think, you know, I haven't been doing much of that. I've been doing a lot of whining and complaining. I've been doing a lot of negative thinking. A lot of just fussing and not happy at all. You need to repent. You need to repent. But first I want to ask the question, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? That man that walked the dusty roads of Galilee is the Son of God. The one that hung upon the cross is the Savior of the world. If you do, are you willing to let Him command your life? Not part of it. He isn't interested in part of it. He isn't even interested in most of it. He wants all of it. Are you willing to confess that name before the world? I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then he tells us, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. If you're here having never been immersed in the forgiveness of your sins, you'll never have a better time than right now. Never. If you're here and you look at yourself and say, well, yeah, but I haven't been living much of a Christian life, then you need to start. You need to start right now. If we can help in any way, please, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?